We are starting a series on James. We were supposed to start last week, but we, you know, took a little bit of a detour given some of the things that have been happening around the world. And so we are actually starting today, but I've been assigned to kind of the last half of the first chapter of James. So I'm going to read the passage and then we'll pray. Hear the word of God in James chapter 1, verses 21 through 27. Therefore, rid yourself of all sordidness and rank growth of wickedness, and welcome with meekness the implanted word that has the power to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. For if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in a mirror, for they look at themselves and on going away immediately forget who they were, what they were like. But those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, being not hearers who forget but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing. If any think they are religious and do not bridle their tongues but deceive their hearts, their religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to care for orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for this day in which we can come to worship you as a community. And as we have just read your word, help us to receive a word from you. Be with all of us as we continue to struggle in our lives, with our faith, and in this world. Give us strength for today, hope for tomorrow. Give us new mercies every morning. And Lord, we ask for your mercy at this hour as well. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. In my life, I've had the benefit of mentors and friends older than I model to me what it means to be a parent, a professional, a man, and a friend. Just model all these things to me. And when I used to travel to California, I used to stay with a friend quite frequently who was one of my mentors and who's become a friend. And I would stay with them, and every morning we would have breakfast, and they, at that time, their youngest was a teenager. You know what that's like, right? I'm not a parent, but I've seen it happen. You know, the terrible teens, right? And every morning he would be groggy, not wanting to get up. He needed to go to school, of course, and so there would be a battle every morning between parent and child about getting this kid ready for school and out the door. But one of the things I learned in that interaction every morning, as the child, as their son was ready to leave, running out the door because they were trying to catch their ride, the parent would say, the mom especially would ask the child as he was ready to go beyond the doors and face what the world had to throw at him, "Who are you?" And the son would have to reply, "I am a child of God." "That's right. Go and be a child of God." That was their morning ritual. "Who are you?" "I am a child of God." It was important for these parents to remind their child, their son, that he is a child of God, created in the image of a creator, made for right relationship, made to love another. Oh, how we need that today, that reminder. Orlando, Tamir Rice, Eric Garner, Nice, Dallas, South Sudan, Philando Castile, Michael Brown, Charleston, Alton Sterling, Syria, U.S. politics, and this morning we remember Baton Rouge. The names of these people and places read like a litany of evidence that the principalities and powers seem to be gaining an upper hand in this world. And it's not lost on me that there are people and places that have gone largely unnamed and unnoticed by the public and by us. What are we to do as a church? What are we to do as Christians, as people of faith? The passage this morning that was assigned for today seemed to me that it is appropriate and relevant to the church against the backdrop of the things going on in this world. Verse 22. the famous line, "But be doers of the word, not merely hearers who deceive themselves." And the question occurs to me, how do hearers only deceive themselves? What is the deception? The passage describes it in this way. It's like a person who, upon turning away from the mirror, forgets what he or she looks like. Different translations use different words, but the idea emphasized is that what is forgotten is the nature of the person, or the makeup of the person, more than it is really about the image, right? The physical looks, per se. So the deception of the hearers only is in forgetting who they are. Do you see that? The deception that hearers only succumb themselves to is in forgetting who they are, like a person who turns away from the mirror and forgets what he or she looks like. I don't know if you've heard, but there is this new app called the Pokemon app. I'm of the age that I've just missed kind of the Pokemon craze. I think it's millennials and younger that were really part of that. And it's gotten really popular. So if you don't know what it is, it's an app for your cell phone. And you download it and you play this game and you go all around. It uses GPS. It uses like mapping technology to go around. And as you travel around, you can find these little creatures called Pokemon. And you're supposed to catch them. And, you know, and it's become this craze, and it's surpassed Facebook check-ins, it's surpassed Twitter, it's surpassed everything. It's like the game of today, right? And I know some of you guys are looking at your phones looking for Pokemons in the church. They show up in the most random places. And in this game, what it is, is it's an alternate reality. That's how they describe it. It's not virtual reality. I don't know if you've heard that term. It's an alternate reality. Why? Because it's somewhere in the middle. It's using real-life mapping technology so it can trace where you are and where you are in this world. And it combines that reality with the game, the virtual reality, to create an alternate reality. And I've thought about, why is this game so popular? And I'm sure it's fun. I haven't played it. I'm sure it's fun. I know a lot of people who are playing it. It must be fun for it to be that popular. But I also wonder if it is, in fact, about the alternate reality. In the face of all the things going on, I wonder if it's about a little escape, of going to a different place in our lives. But for Christians, as people who claim that we are made in the image of God, we must come back to this reality. Being hearers only is to forget that we are imaged after God. And what that means for the church is this. Church, listen to James. When we are hearers only, we are living in deception, in an alternate reality, in an alternative reality, in make-believe, if we forget who we are imaged after. In the interaction between Jesus and the lawyer in that famous story that we often reference called the interaction between the lawyer and Jesus, and Jesus tells that famous story, the parable of the Good Samaritan, Jesus ends the parable asking the lawyer this: "Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" He said, and the lawyer said this, "The one who showed him mercy." You guys know the story. And Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." To be hearers only to that story is to deceive ourselves from the call to action which Jesus calls us to. To hear that story only is to deceive ourselves into who we are, created in the image of God. It's not just about the image, but it's about the action. Jesus didn't parse out whether the man left half dead by the thieves should have walked that particular road from Jerusalem to Jericho. He didn't wonder whether the man was wearing the right clothes so as to not attract danger. He didn't detail whether he did something to warrant such abuse. Jesus doesn't reveal much about the man or about what he was or what he did, what he didn't do, what he did right, whether he was right or whether he was wrong. But what we do know in that story is that the two religious people passed him by. And it was perhaps the least likely person in the lawyer's and the crowd's mind, the Samaritan, that was the neighbor to the man. The most likely people to help, in fact, became the least willing to be a witness of God's love and mercy. And instead, Jesus points to what we consider the least likely to be the one who helps. And Jesus says, "Go and do likewise." But why is it that the church has become the least willing and in some cases the least likely in our world to be the neighbors to those on the margins of society? And before anyone gets theologically argumentative with me, I'm not talking about whether someone is doing right or wrong, whether someone is right or wrong, but whether we are doing right by the image that we are created after. Whether we are doers of the word and not hearers only. What does it mean to be doers of the word? To be doers of the word, according to James, is this: to care for the orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. The orphans and widows James speaks of experience that, I think, at least two things. First thing I think they experienced is situational distress. Distressed because they lost parents or spouses. Losing a loved one causes distress. But there's this other kind of distress that I think they also experienced: social distress. Their situation, their given situation, things that they had no control over, their circumstances caused society to label them the orphan and the widow. These words went from being a descriptor of their situation to a label of their place in society. Where was their place in the social order of things? At the margins, where they were punished for their situation, a situation which they had no control over. It is precisely to those in distress, those who are punished for their circumstance, those who are pushed to the margins of society, to which James says we are called to be doers of the word, by recognizing them, naming them, caring for them, walking alongside of them. And to keep ourselves from being unstained by the world is not about shielding ourselves from the injustice and all the wrong in this world, so as our lives would be untainted and unaffected by it. No, rather, to be stained by the world is to allow the image of God in us to be tarnished by our unwillingness to act according to God's image in us. That's what it means to be stained by the world. To tarnish the image that which within us. To not recognize and to shield ourselves from that which is going on in our world. The church too long has considered unstained by the world as being separate from the world. But the reality is that caused us, in fact, to be stained by the world. Because the image in which God has created us has been tarnished. Because we have deceived ourselves about who we are, who we were created to be. We are not so removed from the things of this world that we are ignorant to the distress experienced by so many. And I don't know about you, but as I keep listening to the news and reading both alarming and thoughtful posts on Facebook, I can't help but feel overwhelmed by all of it. I remember saying to Pastor Lena just last week, over text of course, Words fail me these days. Many of you may have felt the same. But in reading this passage in James, it reminds us that being affected by all the distress we see is part of being created in the image of God. We feel these things so that we can recognize our call to be doers of the word in this world. Today, James reminds us that we best not deceive the Spirit of God in us by forgetting ourselves, by forgetting who we are imaged after. Remember who you are. Children of God, redeemed by grace through Jesus Christ, go out of these doors and live into your identity, into your image as children of God. Roll back the stone. Remember who you are. Be doers of the word. Remembering who you are doesn't mean that you will get it all right or all the time. It allows you to walk knowing that God's got your back. Remembering who you are doesn't mean that you won't be scared. It does mean, however, that you can traverse the difficult roads ahead of you, confident of God's power and strength in your life. Remembering who you are doesn't mean that you won't get tired. It does mean, however, that you can keep on going because God goes ahead of you. Don't forget who you are so that you can live into who you are, who you were created to be, who God has created the church, you, people of faith, to be. So as my friends ask their son, I will ask you as you leave these doors to face the world beyond these doors. Lake B, who are you? I am a child of God. Know that. Remember that. Don't forget it. Go out into this world and be a child of God, a witness of God's love and mercy in this world. Let's pray. God, thank you for this reminder in James, so that we can continue to remember who we are in this world, so that it is not lost on us, on our consciousness of the distress in this world, so that we can be doers of the word, to live into your image for us. Lord, you know full well that we are tired, we sometimes go to a place of hopelessness, we often don't know what to do or how to do it. And surely we have not in this time figured it all out. But thank you for reminding us that we do not just exist in this world, but in fact that we are created in your image. Help us not to turn away from the mirror, forgetting what we are, who we are, and what we are made to be. Rather, help us to live into the image that is within us, to live in the community that you display in your relationship with us. Help us to live in the love and mercy that you show us every day. Help us to leave these doors, remembering and declaring that we are children of God and that we also go out to live as children of you. As children, help us to rely on you for all things. So, Lord, we commit ourselves to you this day and every day. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.